Oh yeah, it's cool, yeah. Look at how many speech.
Thank you. Wonderful. I'm attempting to get the people in the room to be quiet now. That's the thing. They were making commentary about how marvelous you are. How strong you are. No, you thank you for always being there for us. Thank you.
Yes, we love to.
I think somebody said that. At least I did. So. They were talking a little low, and I just wanted satsang to begin. Thank you for the music. We always appreciate it. It's really important. Settles people in, gets them ready for satsang. Om Shri Sache Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Paramatma Ki Jai. Gurudev Bhagawan Ki Jai. Sacha Sangha Ki Jai. I make a little announcement here about the Bhagavad Gita. We're on the 18th chapter. We've been working with the Bhagavad Gita, I think, over 2 years. And the 18th chapter will be in probably three sections because it is the longest. It's the longest chapter in the Gita, and it's compact and just dense. It's the last teaching that Krishna is giving to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and then afterwards, Arjuna is going to war against his brothers, uncles, cousins, grandfathers, like that. It's a very important chapter. I feel a little as though I feel late, and you may feel that I'm late too, and if you do, that's right. I don't know what to do about that. I really have to get into the atmosphere of the Gita and almost be there. And if that isn't right for me, I just don't. It's just not right for me. Let's just put it that way. So there it is. It's coming. I'm editing. All the dog barks and tea splashes and coughs and mispronunciations right now. It'll be out pretty soon, probably tomorrow or the next day. The first part of the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So there it is. I was considering layering. You know, spirituality, if you think that spirituality, I don't like the word really at all. My granddaughter, she's writing something, Rachel, a lot of you know Rachel, and she said, she put my religion down as spirituality. I said, don't do that. I don't have a religion and I'm not. Because spirituality has a lot of different meanings. And what we are blessed to proceed with is that we're stripping away to the core that which is not beneficial, gets in the way of our understanding, inner standing is weighty, is old in the past. We strip away worry, we strip away self-righteousness, we strip away comparing, we strip away judging. So this is kind of a layering that we drop a layer. When one ceases to judge anymore, of course you're going to, but we're talking about making, we're talking here about entertaining ourselves with our judgments, occupying ourselves with our judgments and always looking out at somebody else and deciding what they are or how they are. When that falls away, when we're willing to have that fall away, possibility is our greatest ally. And when we're not willing to have that or any one of the qualities that keep you in a state of duality and ignorance, ignoring, then possibility is not possible. You close it down. You close it down for your ideas. You close it down for the way that you think things should be. You close it down because you're not willing to go a little further inward. Habitual actions are more compelling. And really, this opportunity that we have here on earth at this lifetime, we have this lifetime. Requires us in a way, particularly when you have opened the gate of the Dharma and you are walking that way and no other way will do. I pray that you, that that is what it is for you, the Dharma, the way to your self-realization, to your heart, to an open mind, to a really good life, to a continuance, is your priority. I mean, I can't imagine another priority. What would it be? What would it be? So when you are willing, and not only willing has to be preceded by, oh, I'm willing. Well, yeah, okay, I'm willing too, but it must be preceded by experiencing, by experimenting, by opening up the possibility that you could be incorrect. That you could be, and not be embarrassed by it. That you could move past that and open up a new kind of silence, a new kind of following one's destiny step by step, opening up a possibility and seeing what that's like. So we take off layers. We literally take off layers all the way to the marrow of the bone until we're carrying nothing except our breath, our movement through life, step by step, and with integrity and love in our heart. So this is a stripping away of resentment. And my daughter was telling me yesterday that she was angry at a friend of hers for years, and she's a very nice person and quite wise. And she was just constantly filled with the upset of this person because this person, well, they took advantage of her financially, and she wasn't capable of being taken advantage of financially by a very good friend. And it was years that she did not drop it. And her friend called, and she picked up the phone, and her friend said, "You know, I can never pay you back." And she said, "I forgive you." A whole new possibility came in there. And she said that she felt incredibly relieved. After years and years and years of holding resentment towards someone, I said, how did that work for you? Not well. So what do we layer? We open the layer, we open the possibility of love, which is not easily understood. I would say that you must come to love to the point where you no longer can define love. You don't know what love is. You're not looking for a reward in love. And yet you cannot be in another atmosphere within and without. It's impossible. It has nothing to do with relationships, although those relationships are important teachings, but this love is much grander. You can define the love of a relationship. And love, you know, it's such a funny word and it's so overused, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. So that's why I use that word. I really feel, Sangha, you must move into that undefinable unity with God, as all things are. And go to no other place in your life, just there. And open that space. I open that space as just, I'm not fond of this terminology. Open that space. Just let it take over your life. So we take layer and layer off. And we're willing to see our error, and our error is mistake make better. Mistakes do make better. And we're not so guarded, and we don't have to put on a mask for anyone ever. Isn't that wonderful? It is. Layering, taking a layer off at a time. Okay, so Krishna is speaking in the Gita, this in the 18th chapter. We'll go there for a minute. Renunciation, to renounce the desire for any action to occur. And I suggested in this transmission that you give up one desire that's not doing you any good at all. And one desire that you have, see, that you want it to be like this at the end, you want this result, and give it up. Completely. And it may take a year or two, it may take a day. Well, it's really important that satsang is applied to your life. It's not just a matter of speaking really important terminology to hearts that are receptive. It's a matter of living in this undefinable love that will guide you every step of the way, will protect you, is wise, is 100% full potential and possibility step by step. It's very, 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 very important. Because it's an important time. Oof. Okay. So if there would be anyone who would like to bring anything to satsang, let me see what it would be. Anybody in the room? Yeah, Karen.
When the body dies,
the soul goes where it's always been. Where do you think the soul is now?
Where do I think it is?
Well, let's not be clever with words. Where do you think it is now? She has a really good question here, okay? This is in the room here at Terada Satcha. Karen said, when the body dies, where does the soul go? India does a very interesting example of this very question. They crack a pot. Where does the space within the pot go? Huh? You see that? Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, so there's not a real... That's the true answer. It may not be satisfactory. But what happens before your body passes? This to me is more important than even what happens when the body does pass. Except for we crack the pot. The pot is no longer there. It no longer holds the space. The space is as free as it has ever been. It's always been empty. Is it true? Mm-hmm. You can put things in, okay, but you can take things out. Is that right? Mm-hmm. It's very, very deep, this point that you bring up. It'll settle with you. If you have this question, it's going to settle with you. And you may not come up with a definitive answer, but you will see something. And this is very important, what you brought here, because everything does not have a definitive answer. You understand? Some things cannot be said and put into context. But you cannot deny what you come to be free in seeing, free of the definition, free of the need of an answer, and somehow in that freedom, you see. And you still may not come up with an answer. Because words are very important. Language is extremely important conveyance. And yet, what we're considering here has its own language. And it comes through your eyes. It comes through your heart. It's received through your eyes, your heart, your feelings, your silence, your openness. And you begin to see, well, there isn't an answer to this. And yet, when the pot cracks and shatters to the ground, what happens to the space within it? Yeah, we'll leave it there. And that kind of an example really feeds that silent language to a kind of satisfaction, to a kind of inner satisfaction. Now, I would say, what about before the body passes, and then you go on to this next life, so to speak? To me, what we are here, apparently here for, is to bring ourselves to that last breath and how we have lived this life. And without shame, without anger, without the need to prove yourself to anyone, and just to be, but without the weight of those kind of non-existent ideas that hold us like, oh, I have to be this way. I have to look like this. I have at least 15 faces. And, well, there's nothing. Actually, that I cannot say that that is wrong, because those who have a different face for everyone will suffer that, and they'll get tired of that, and they'll wonder where they are in that, and they'll come to themselves eventually, this life or another, they will, because everything is already perfectly present God. There is nothing that is not. There's not a breath, a color, a shape, a form, a time that can even be without whatever that is that we call God. I have no concept of that. Incredible. I can't even say. But entire universes, from the molecule to the colossal of multiple universes, are present due to that which we call God. And yet, I have no idea what that is. And I have said that I don't need to believe in God. You're proof enough that God exists to me, that you are, that the world is. I cannot figure any of this out at all. It just gives me cold chills right down the spine every time. And it bursts the heart, so to speak. You know, poetically speaking, it bursts the heart open. But the heart is always open. But there's this, the only thing that clouds the heart is where you think. And but yeah, but where what you think is where you live. And that's the sad thing. It causes wars and hatred. So, yeah, to attempt to define God, I can only say, eternal, infinite, inexhaustible, undoubtedly true in all that you experience and beyond. So, this is the service that we render in our lives to our deeper, so to speak, self. Ken Chui. Hello, Ken.
Namaste, Guruji. Namaste.
Oh, look at the behind you, Mike.
Yes, look at all that.
Yeah, you water those guys good, really.
Yes, yeah, I do. Bless you, Guruji. It was so nice to be with you and the Sangha again in Mandalay. Thank you.
Wasn't that great?
It was, yeah, such a beautiful place, yes.
And beautiful people, no? Such beautiful people.
Beautiful people, yes, yeah. Yes, and it was interesting, you know, coming across people who have never really heard of you before. And so this brings up the first question, actually, of two. So there were a few of them who asked me, oh, are you a disciple of Shantimayi? I was like, not sure how to answer that question. Okay. Then I said, oh, I'm a student of Shantimayi. So,
same.
Yes. So it brings up the whole thing about teacher, guru, master, servant, student kind of questions. So even today when people ask me, you know, I find it still difficult to use the words that, you know, carefully chosen words to explain that. And these days I just want to embrace it. Yes, I am a disciple. And she is my guru.
Such as, what words do you have a problem saying?
Well, because I suppose I'm just concerned about what they think or perceive as, like, if I say, yes, you know, I'm a disciple, then what would they, it's really, I suppose this is the way I think about it. What might they think of it?
Well, who cares
what they think?
Mm-hmm. And if it's uncomfortable for you because you haven't really settled with that terminology, that's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But who cares what anybody thinks? I mean, mm-hmm. The head, the not the head, wrong. The thoughts of anyone are utterly uninteresting. The thoughts of anyone are mostly garbage. So why the heck would you care what anybody thought? I mean, have you looked in the thought realm lately? Whew.
Yes.
Jeez. I would never care about what anyone said.
No. Okay. I guess a lot of people just are fearful of that master-student or disciple relationship because of being fearful of being manipulated. That comes up quite a lot. Or are you not afraid of being manipulated?
Hold on, we're going to have a conversation here, by the way.
Of course, Kirji, always.
So, have I manipulated you?
No.
Have I ever asked for your respect?
No.
Have I ever asked for your money?
No.
Have I ever asked for your time?
No.
Have I ever asked you to think? You couldn't think like I do because I don't do it very much.
Yes.
But have I ever asked you to follow me? No.
No.
So who cares what people think?
No, of course. Yeah. No. That is, yeah, no, not for me. No, no, absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
When you this is important what you're saying, it always is. When you examine those kinds of questions or those kinds of curiosities about yourself and your relationship with me, you know, you can call me Shanti Mai, you can call me Guruji, you can call me Shanti Mai Guruji. Muktananda has called me master all his life. He's never called me Shanti Mai once. So whatever you call me is up to you, not me.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
However you feel about our relationship is up to us. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yes.
And so go ahead, please, Ken.
Yeah, that clears it up. I mean, it's cleared it up for me a long time ago. I mean, to start with, I did have those questions, as you knew. And then just when you guide me back to my heart, it just becomes so clear what it is. Actually, I don't need to define it at all.
That's
what
right.
It is. Yes.
Right. And I don't feel from my own experience with my master, which was extremely marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that anyone can ever understand that.
Mm.
And looking from the outside in, it's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when I consider Maharaji, you know, he had many, many marvelous people with him, people who loved him. Each and every person had their own world with him.
Mm.
So I don't know that anybody can really understand this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the second point is about mistakes make better, because you repeated that a few times in Mandali as well.
Necessary, because
yes.
People, their mistakes define them. And then they have to prove themselves right. And then it's a whole mess is what it is. Really.
Mm-hmm. So on a personal and dharmic level, I understand what that means. So because, for example, like there was the other doctor there at the gathering and she's a surgeon. So on a professional level, those mistakes, you know, if you're a pilot or train driver or a doctor, can cost lives in some cases. So in those cases, can it also make better?
Yeah, who has the last breath?
Mm-hmm.
Who determines the last breath?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not up to us, of course. Yes, and yet we feel responsible when something like this happens, when a mistake leads to people losing lives.
That's why
I feel. Mm.
Yeah, that's why we carry on with great care.
Mm-hmm.
and skill and love for what we are doing in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
The last breath belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first one.
Yes. Yes, I remember what you said before. Yeah, the circumstances that lead to that event happening, all of those as well. You know, yes, for the person to take the last breath.
Yeah.
We think we're... Mm-hmm.
That's why I don't go to doctors, Ken.
You do. You go to the traditional Chinese medicine. Yes, yeah. And even then, they can make mistakes as well. Put the needle in the wrong place, or still the acupuncture needle. But yes, I see what you're saying, of course. The last breath, yeah.
That's applicable to where it's truly applicable. Everything is not applicable to the full life, such as surgery and somebody leaving a pair of hemostats and
yes.
inside the stomach by mistake. That's never mind. Hemostats are something that a doctor uses. So better to apply it to your own psychology, so that you can be free to see how mistake make better.
Yes.
Not just say it, right? This is really important. Not just say it.
Mm-mm.
Not just have it as a phrase, but see how mistake make better. Recently,
yes.
Recently, one of the Sangha scratched the car pretty severely on one side. Put a big dent in it.
Mm-hmm.
It turned out really... just because we moved with it as not the worst thing in the universe, it came out very well. Nobody has to do anything. We just moved a certain way. And we wanted to buy a new car for a long time, so now we're going to do it. But if you always feel like your mistakes that you are defining you rather than guiding you back to center, right? Then
yes, and then you have to defend yourself or so because you feel like you're going to be attacked otherwise or judged.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And look who's judging and who's exactly. Attacked.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Right?
Thank you. Absolutely.
What anybody thinks about your the unfoldment of your heart and the self-realization that you are pursuing from within. Mm-hmm. Who gives a darn? How dare anyone? And if they do, so what? That was my stance all along. People used to say, you're crazy to go to Maharaji and sit at his feet. And I said, well, that world has changed my life.
Thank you, Guruji.
You're welcome.
Namaste. Thank you. Namaste.
Nataraj Ji. Oh, gee. You look like you're about to go to India.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Namaste, Shanti Mai.
Where are you?
I'm in Iowa. I've been back since
when?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of the things you just spoke about with your daughter, I had a handful of people that had, in a similar way, had taken advantage of me, people that I trusted. And this came up in review, I don't know, yesterday maybe. And I was just so extremely grateful that I was had allowed every time these thoughts come in about retribution and about the feelings of being betrayed were had guided my process for so long, and And I was extremely grateful that I had come to this place where I had allowed, I had released all of these ideas. And
wow.
In
Wow. Even I feel relieved. Go ahead.
Well,
wow.
But so periodically those little thoughts start to creep back in, and like with a sword, I can just chop those things off. And I know that it's happening. But what comes out of this is this extreme, it's an indescribable feeling of freedom.
Of course.
In that forgiveness and whatever the words are to describe this, but
la vie.
So I just wanted to add to what you shared about your daughter's story, how incredible that freedom, that feeling of freedom, when this no longer is taking, I'm not entertaining this anymore.
Right.
So it, right. You know, it happened, you know, the loss.
Let me say that, and I appreciate, and I want to hear what you have to say. I think you have to handle money well. My view about money, and it's not necessarily your view about money, and I'm not asking it to be your view about money. I would never loan anybody anything. And either I give it, because I don't want to go charging after people for what they owe me. I couldn't even comprehend that. And if I don't have it to give, no one gets it. But if I have it, they can have it. And it's done. It's done. I absolutely, my son, you know, Donnie.
Yeah. Donnie,
he said, oh, Mom, I'll pay you back. And I said, no, you will not pay me back. And don't even think about it. Because don't put it on your mind. Huh? So if you can, you can. If you can't, you can't. And yeah, I would never loan anybody anything ever. Ever. I would never owe anybody anything ever either. Ever. Not a penny. And if I had a debt, I would pay it as comprehensively as I could, and I would never be in debt again. Period. Ever. Ever. I've been fortunate enough in my own life not to owe a penny to anyone ever. Not one red cent. Why? Because I live within my means, that's why. But, and I'm also a fraidy cat. I'm a fraidy cat. I can't even comprehend having a monthly payment for something. That's like, wow. But people tell me that I do have monthly payments for my telephone. And so, but to handle money, well, each person to their own, isn't it?
Yes.
That's the way it has to be. Mm-hmm. I feel to be debt-free and to give what somebody needs rather than to loan it. And if I don't have it, that's the way it is. Yeah. Good to see you. I'm going to go on now.
Yeah. Namaste.
Alok. You know, I think about you all the time, Alok. Honest to God. Do you know that I still have this little book of seals that you gave me?
Oh.
Yeah. How long has it been since I've seen you? 20 years? 15 years?
14 years, I think.
Yeah. I just love you with all of my heart and soul. I swear. Yeah. So good to see you,
Sharu. You know, I've been wandering in my own constructed dharma, and the other day I came across one of your satsangs. and just hearing your voice brought me into that home of emptiness.
Yeah. And you should know it well. The painter that you are, you should know emptiness very well, no?
I do. I move from emptiness. I paint for emptiness. I live from emptiness. But I haven't been making money for a long time.
Oh.
Yeah. And because
I want to ask one question about it.
Yeah.
Is it because art has lost its financial attraction?
Yes, and I wanted to experience fully what is to be poor. And then, just to tell you about the switch.
Sure.
And then the other day, I was repeating my mantra for being alive and for working, which is being present, available, playful, and not knowing. And when I came to the not knowing part, I said, sell. So present, available, playful, and sell.
Yes.
So I was giving a workshop on Zen creativity and the art of life and death. And this surgeon from California wanted to buy my painting. So I sold the painting for $20,000.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah. So, and I haven't been engaged in doing that for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of fun. It's good. I needed some money, you know. And
and it came.
Yeah, yeah. And I can do that again, you know, it's not a big deal.
Right, I know that.
Yeah. And I've been exploring the art of dying and death.
Well, how old are you now?
I'm 86.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm 74. Can you imagine? Look at us, huh?
Wow.
You turned out to be a very, very beautiful old man.
Oh.
Flirtation, by the way.
That's great.
You might live to be 100.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I was thinking to live to 85 because I love teaching, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's such a beautiful way to support people, not only to make art, but to be the art.
That's right. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Do you hear that little ka-plunk, ka-plunk on the computer? Did you hear it?
No.
I'm taking photos of you.
Oh.
Yeah. I do that a lot. It's so good to see you.
Wow. It's this intimacy in emptiness that I experienced with you and has always been ecstatic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where are you? Where are you living now?
I live in Sedona, Arizona.
Yeah, well, what a great place to live.
I've lived here longer than any place else, longer than in China.
Okay. God, I love you. I think about you often. I have this little book, and your image comes up to me so often. I'm so happy to see you. May we meet again.
Yes.
Would you like to say anything else?
I'm grateful to you.
I'm grateful to you too, Alok. Deeply. Namaste.
Namaste.
Dragana? There you are. I can't hear you, so you have your sound off.
Okay.
Yeah, now it's good.
Hello, Shanti Mai.
Namaste. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. I want to thank you for your teachings.
Are they I don't think so. I think I'm only a messenger.
Then thank you for the messages.
Oh, I appreciate it, but really, really and truly, the teachings are ancient. This is all I want to say. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's not the point. The point is that these are tried and true for, oh my God, ever. Go ahead, please.
Yes, there's a few things that I would like to put in words. One is, I'm sorry, I'm crying already. You know, I have been listening to you for such a long time. And only this year I can receive fully. That's what I really wanted to express, my gratitude.
Thank you. Yeah. You know, whether a person can receive or not, it's really interesting what Ken said about how people may respond to what he may say. Now, I'm putting this in context with you, because Ken has such a personality and such a joyful personality that he's seeding people all the time, so to speak, with the, I like the word offering of simple joy. And whether they don't want to receive it or not, they're receiving it because the heart is really calling for that. And so you've been receiving all along. Your heart, I'm only speaking to the heart. I'm not talking to anything. It's just heart to heart. Anyhow, I just felt to say that.
Thank you. I have been reciting the Gayatri Mantra since we started the sadhana. And in the beginning, I did it silently, like inward. And a couple of weeks ago, I started to do it loud, along with your...
Did you shake the neighborhood?
I'm sorry?
Did you shake the neighborhood?
Yes, yes.
So you did it with a voice, huh?
Yes, yes. I'm doing it with the voice now. One thing, there's an experience that I want to share. There were some thoughts that really brought me to a dark place. And I really, it took like 1.5 weeks. I was in this dark place. And
wait a minute.
What?
Did you get over it in 1.5 weeks?
Yes.
That is lightning fast.
And you know what happened? It happened with the Gayatri. It was the first time I did it loud, the 108 times. It snapped me out of that
good
state. And
wonderful. That's wonderful. Yeah. 1.5 weeks is, that's really, really efficient for you. Efficient.
Why do you say for me?
Spend their lives attempting to get over one little lump.
Can you say that again, please?
And I'm only going to say it one more time, so listen up.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. People spend their lives and even lifetimes attempting to get over one little lump.
Yeah.
So you may have been spending lifetimes and finally you got over this little lump. But really wonderful that, really wonderful. Anyhow, good, 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 good. Anything else from you?
Yes, one more thing. You know, since I started saying this loud, I feel there's a shift happening. I went again through some very, very deep grief, and it was very, very intense. It took a couple of days, and suddenly it was gone. You know, I went through it, and then it was done.
Don't be very aware that it may have come again just to test you out.
Yes.
Okay. And that's a good thing because yeah. You get more and more skilled the thinner it gets. You understand?
Yes, I understand.
Don't be frustrated when something comes back. My daughter, she said, you know, I'm never going to forget how she took advantage of me, but I don't care anymore. And I said, how could you forget? It was an event in your life. Forgiveness or renunciation or silencing thought does not mean that it erases the memory. It just means that it's totally unimportant anymore. And that's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to remember, I can remember just about everything in my life. All of the really negative things, and my father wasn't there when I was born, and I was adopted, and all of it, nothing. What is that? Nothing. It's just, it's a bag of the past. Nothing, nothing. Here I am. Thank you, God, for every breath I ever have taken, no matter what it was or has been or shall be. Yes?
Yes.
Isn't that right?
Yes.
I mean, what else? No, okay, I'm going to hold a grudge. And it withers the soul. It does. It hurts the heart. It withers the soul. It damages the organs. It's mental unfit for your beautiful mind. Isn't it? Hold on. Yes. Wither means to, like a flower without water. That's what happens to the flower. It can even, but it's not alive and vibrant anymore, right?
Yes.
So I'm very happy about. Tell me your father's name again. I just love your father's.
Mile.
Say it again.
Mile.
The whole name.
Mile Matic.
He has the most bizarre and marvelous names. It's just great. Dragona.
Dragana.
And you are a dragon.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm both. I'm the beloved and the dragon. You know, the word beloved is like the translation. Draga.
Did you say Araga?
No, it's Draga.
Oh, your name.
Yeah.
I think the dragon is a great protector. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyhow.
Thank you.
Yeah. Take care now. Namaste.
Namaste.
So the satsang has gone. We put Maharaji in there. There he is. The satsang has gone in the line of layer after layer after layer. My sense is not only do you have to be willing. Willing is an incredible light on the way. It's really important. But we must examine our responses and ourselves, how we proceed in life, with great compassion and a willingness to see what needs to be plucked out of the garden, the weeds, so to speak, so that the heart can be effulgent, 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 guide you through your life. It's very, very important that your heart and mind are married in the alchemical marriage, and that guides your soul through your life. And you're willing to say, I could have done it another way. And we just strip that off and we say, okay, we're going to do it another way. And we're not defensive. We need not offend or defend. Just take a look inside. And, you know, I say no shame, no blame. But you must reflect as to how you are proceeding. Because if you continue to do the same, like Einstein said, to do the same thing again and again and to expect a different result is a kind of madness. It is. He's right. Of course, he was right about a lot of things. Not everything. So, give yourself an opportunity. And don't care what anybody thinks. Ken said, I will have to defend something because they'll attack me. Well, I would first start out with not caring about what anyone thinks and honing the skill of wisdom from the way that I proceed through life. And if I'm hurt in the same place again and again and again, it needs attention. If you're hurt in the same place again and again and again and again and again and again and again, and you haven't changed something, you must consider that. Be willing to change. And not only willing to change, change. No? Yeah. Yeah, it's a great opportunity in your life. Is it not true?
Yeah.
Yes. Clear away those clouds. Clear away those clouds of, I am so righteously true. And not knowing where you're going, good for you. Good for you. So you have a completely open field. Proceed with love. Find out how it serves you and how it serves the world and the people that you're with. And it's a powerful, powerful skill, opportunity, lit pathway. The only way to go. period. And it'll take care of you so well. It makes a person strong and clear. 100%. 100%. And you cannot make any deals in love. It's no deals. I'll do this if I get that. Forget it. I'll just do that and see how it comes. Isn't it true?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, namaste, everybody. It was wonderful to be with you again on Zoom. I'll see you next week if I'm lucky. Namaste.